great to be back in the pulpit after my family holiday in America. We had a great time doing my best to drive on the correct side of the road, although it went a little bit wrong. So apologies if you were in Denby's on Saturday morning because you were met with a car driving rather oddly. That was me. It's early September, and as Caroline prayed in our intercessions, there's a sense of a new academic year and a kind of turning the page and having a sense of a new chapter. And so normally in September, and we'll do the same this year, we have a few weeks refreshing our vision as a church, as a community. What are we here for? Who are we aiming to be? Where do we want to go as a church, and how are we going to get there? Now, our vision is to be a growing community of grace. That's our long-term vision. And within that, we're having a season where we feel it's right to encourage everybody to be increasingly courageous for Christ as we grow our community of grace. Growing. We want to be growing deeper as followers of Jesus, and we want to be growing numerically as a church. A community, not a religious social club, but a real community. A community where we love each other sacrificially as we do life together, where we're vulnerable and able to be known for who we really are. And a growing community of grace. Grace is the undeserved favour of God in and through Christ. Now, there are plenty of other religions to choose from, hosts of philosophies and worldviews on offer, but the life-changing grace of God is completely unique for those who follow Jesus. Grace is what Jesus died to bring us. Grace is what salvation is all about. Grace is the key to life in all its fullness. And so I hope that as we spend a few weeks early this September refreshing our vision, we will all be excited to be part of this tremendous growing community of grace. And before we look ahead in a few moments at what the coming season holds for us, I just want to take a moment to look back with thanksgiving. I think it's a vital spiritual discipline to do that. At the beginning of every staff meeting, every single week, we gather as a staff and we look back with thanksgiving on the week we've had. What was God up to? What have we got to give thanks for? I was hearing a thing on the radio about parenting, and they were saying all parents want their children to be happy. Of course you do. They're saying if you want your children to be happy, don't aim for their happiness. Teach them to be thankful. Teach them to be grateful. If you want a happy marriage, don't try for a happy marriage. Be thankful. Be thankful. If you want a happy Christian life, don't aim for happiness. Aim for gratitude. So let's look back with thanks. When we look back, we find there's so much to celebrate. When we set our mission action plan, it's about a year ago now, almost exactly, our new one we launched. And we prayerfully discerned for these next 2 years what we were going to really focus on. And as with any decisions to prioritise and focus, there are things we said we'll do, and there were good things we said we won't do for the sake of having a focus. And so much of what we set out to do has started to become a reality. And so just a few examples. In January, we launched a new monthly cafe church with St. Martin's down at 4 p.m. on the third Sunday. We've run two Christian mindfulness courses, and people have been really blessed by that. We've got a new parenting teenagers group. We've gained our first Eco Church Award, which is really exciting. We started a new Wednesday night youth group. We've got new home groups. The World Church Team, we've got 5 overseas mission trips just in the space of 18 months. We've piloted a new style of 9 o'clock service, dialogue and devotion. We're going to be having 2 more of those this term. The men's ministry, Momentum, has gained momentum, has it not? And we've seen new leaders rise up. We've seen a growth in vocations. We've seen Ollie Fricker now being accepted to train. We've seen Heather Goddard going to start training in September as LLM, and more people in the pipeline for ministry. And as well as all the new, the day-to-day ministries of this church continue to amaze me. Early Bird Cafe, our outstanding nursery every day, our array of children and youth ministries, not just the stuff that happens on site here, but day-to-day there are 5 Dorking schools that we minister in every week. Midweek congregations, social justice ministries, pastoral care, hospitality, worship, discipleship, Alpha. We're so blessed. And that's just to mention a few. Now, of course, life at St. Paul's over the last year has not been perfect. Let's be honest. It's been a season of grief and mourning as well as joy, as is the case for any year in the life of any church. For us, we've suffered the death of several dearly loved church members, and we miss them keenly. We'll go on to miss them. We employed a new youth pastor, but her appointment lasted a very short length of time. There have been struggles in life, in health, in faith, and there have been losses. We haven't done all that we hoped we would do, but by God's grace, we've seen people come to faith, we've seen people grow in faith and persevere in faith. Some of you are just about hanging on in there in faith, and that's a victory. And together with other Dorking churches that we partner with really well, we've been part of seeing the kingdom of God grow in our town. There's no doubt about that. There's much to be thankful for. We look back with thanks, and now let's look forward with faith and hope. What has God got in store for us? There's always a danger when a vicar returns from study leave followed by a holiday that she will have read some book or been to some conference and come back to the church with some massive new idea and summon the PCC and leadership team and announce we're going to scrap the vision and start all over again with the radical new big idea. Let me reassure you, that's not the plan. I have been to some great conferences, read some great books, and I have got a few ideas, but we're not going to abandon all that we planned to do. What does God want to see happen here? There's one thing I return more convinced of than ever. God wants more people to know him. God wants more people to know him. The gospel is good news for every single person in Dorking. At the moment, I'm never really quite sure how many people exactly live in Dorking. Figures vary wildly depending on which census you read and which electoral wards you count in and out. Would you say 20,000 people, Peter? What would you say? About 20,000 people, does that sound about right? A bit more? Yeah. 20,000 to 30,000 people in our town. And sometimes I tot up in my head, how many of those people are followers of Christ? What's the percentage? It's very low. It's very low. Thousands of people living without the grace and mercy and truth of Jesus directing their lives. And that must grieve us deeply. That must be our primary concern as a church. Archbishop William Temple said this: the church is the only society on earth that exists for the benefit of its non-members. I love that. That's what we're here for. That's who we're here for. That's why we're here. Now at St. Paul's, we see people of all ages coming to faith every year. We rejoice in that. But the truth is, we don't see very many people coming to faith every year. And I believe that God is calling us to a new season of mission and evangelism. God is calling us to be courageously dependent on him in a way that we have never been before, to use us to bring many people to faith. This hope has, of course, been in our vision all along. It's there in our Mission Action Plan, to be a growing community of grace, to grow in numbers. And the time has now come, I believe, for us to prayerfully commit at a level that we haven't done for perhaps years to evangelism and mission. At the moment, we baptize about 10 babies a year and about 10 young people and adults. What would it take for us to see those numbers triple? At the moment, we run 3 Alpha courses a year and we see about 30 non-Christians exploring faith. We often welcome Christians on Alpha, and that's brilliant. It's encouragement and a strengthening to many, but about 30 non-believers. What would it take to see 100 people on our Alpha courses? One thing is for sure, God wants it to happen. God wants to be transforming both the present life and the eternal future of every single person in our town. There's no doubt about that. So how can we be more in line with the will and purpose of God? They're big questions. We're not going to answer them all today. We're going to be unpacking this topic in all kinds of ways this term. But our starter for 10 is what we can learn from Luke 24. So we're at the end of Luke's gospel that Bob read to us. The disciples have journeyed with Jesus for 3 years as their rabbi. They've been taught about the kingdom of God. They've learned how to preach about the kingdom of God and minister in the kingdom. They've learned how to heal the sick and cast out demons. And they've learned how to rely on God for the miraculous. They've heard the great command to love God and love their neighbor. They've watched as Jesus was arrested, put on trial, condemned, and crucified. And they watched him die on the cross and forgive his enemies with his last breath. They experienced the depths of despair. And then the earth shaking, mind-blowing new reality that Jesus has risen. Death and sin and hell are defeated, and Jesus really is who he claimed to be all along. And as we join them in Luke 24, they're just trying to get their heads around this incredible good news. And so the risen Jesus, we join them as the risen Jesus is with them, and the truth is dawning, and he opens up their minds. Verse 45, he said, everything that has happened was promised in Scripture. All this has been foretold. Don't forget, at this point, they don't have a New Testament. They have the Jewish scriptures. Everything's in there. I've spent my study leave in the Old Testament exclusively, and trust me, everything is in there. The Messiah will come. He will suffer, die, and rise again. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed to the whole world. And then verse 48 is a tiny but critical verse. You are witnesses of all this. Point number one today, you are witnesses. The risen Jesus gives each one of his followers that identity. You're not just a disciple, an apprentice, a follower. You are from now on, as you meet the risen Jesus, you are one of his witnesses. It's an identity that comes full of purpose. The image is like in a courtroom. That's where we most commonly come across a witness, isn't it? Where there's been some kind of event back in time at some point, and there's a sort of debate as to the truth, what really happened. The nature of God and the purpose of human life, that's the thing up for debate. There's a jury trying to make a decision, the world out there. Who was Jesus? Is God real? Why am I here? How should I live? Where am I going? Meaning, purpose, identity, ethics, it's all up for debate. This is up for the decision, and your job is to stand up in that courtroom and be a witness. We can testify to the truth that Jesus is alive and grace and truth are found in him. It is not an easy job. If we're going to see more and more children and adults be baptized here, if we're going to see 100 people on Alpha courses, if we're going to see dozens of new believers, it would be extremely costly. Let's not pretend otherwise. It's going to be very hard. If it was easy, every church would be doing it. It's not easy. Probably the hardest thing we'll ever aim to do. The word Jesus uses to tell his disciples to be witnesses, the word is martyr in Greek, and we know what the word martyr means. To be a witness is to put everything on the line, because everything is what it costs. Money, time, pride, comfort, convenience, all the things we treasure most. God wants to get us ready to be his witnesses in a new way, for a new season, I'm sure of that. But see what Jesus says next, verse 49. He says, as my witnesses, you must now launch yourselves into a frenzy of church activity. Oh, verse 49, sorry. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. You absolutely cannot be a fruitful witness for Jesus in your own strength. You're going to need serious divine empowerment and be totally reliant on that. The Holy Spirit is going to become, he's been promised through the ages, the day of fulfillment is soon here. And there's the command, stay in the city and wait. Just wait for God. Don't make a move until the Spirit moves you. Don't spring into action until the Spirit acts. Don't be leaders in mission. Wait to be led. And after those instructions, be my witnesses, but wait for the Spirit. Jesus leaves them for good, ascends to the Father. What do they do? Verse 43, for once in their lives, they actually do as Jesus told them to do, which is very refreshing. They might finally be learning. Verse 53, they go to the city and wait. They head to the temple and they stay there continually, praying, praising, thanking God, waiting for the empowerment of the Spirit. I'm convinced God is calling us into a new season of mission and evangelism. I'm convinced he wants to use us powerfully as his witnesses to bring many more people to repentance and faith in Christ. But our mission must be Spirit-led, Spirit-dependent, Spirit-empowered. So that is what this coming week of prayer is about. We're setting aside a whole week. It says the disciples prayed continually. We've got a continual week of prayer here, starting tomorrow, to wait and to rest in the presence of God, to seek the presence and empowerment of God, to pray for ourselves, for our love of the Lord Jesus, to pray for our town with so many needs, primarily spiritual needs. And the program for the prayer week, it's on the website, it's on the notice board. If you've never visited a prayer space before, if that's something completely new to you, then there are a couple of evenings where it's going to be explained, and there'll be some things for people individually. There'll be sometimes of group prayer. There's going to be prayer ministry training on Thursday night with me. But it's an open invitation for everyone. Would you please commit to coming at least once? If you can come every day, come every day. But at least once, spend time in prayer. I want to end with a prayer. And it was written by St. Simeon, the new theologian. He was writing in about 980 AD, which I think is quite cool. He was the new theologian back then. An Eastern Orthodox monk, and his passion was for people to know that they can experience the power of the living God. So let's just be still, perhaps close your eyes and pray. Come, true light and life eternal. Come, treasure without name. Come, light that knows no evening. Come, resurrection of the dead. Come, all-powerful, for unceasingly you create, refashion, and change all things by your will alone. Come, my joy, my glory, my endless delight. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.